one of the wackier ones we had was in Australia. There was some, I can't remember the type of bird now, but it was coming down and pecking out the LEDs out of the sign and eating them.
Oh, jeez.
Those aren't berries. Those are LEDs.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner here with Matt Anderson. Today we're joined by Trent Erickson, Daktronics Repair Center Plant Manager. He's going to talk about our US-based and global repair centers, how they operate for our customers, as well as some common and uncommon reasons for displays to need repair. And we're here today with Trent. Trent, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Matt, how are you doing over there?
I'm doing okay, Justin. Thank you.
All right. So, Trent, you're going to talk to us about the Daktronics Repair Center. Can you give us a quick overview of the Daktronics Repair Center, what it is and where it is?
Yeah. We are located in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, corporate office for the repair centers. We have regional offices as well in Canada, Ireland, Shanghai, and Australia. We, in the corporate repair center, will repair any products that have been set up as repairable products. We originally would go through a process through design to make sure that it's cost effective to do the repairs for any Daktronics built products. A lot of good examples would be the control systems, the controllers, modules, and potentially exchange equipment as well. Come back through us. We also help coordinate vendor repair products, things such as some cameras, amps, and sound system equipment.
Oh, wow. That's what I was going to ask was there's so many different products that Daktronics has, from, you mentioned, video modules down to, shot clocks or light strips for backboards. It's all that? And then you said vendor gear as well. I had no idea that that was part of it.
Yeah, over the years, we've had quite a bit of different suppliers that we've worked with, either where we'll do some troubleshooting, and potentially if it's as simple as a firmware update, we'll do that work ourselves in the repair center. Otherwise, we'll coordinate with them, do the RMAs back to the suppliers, and get that equipment back out to the customers.
And you said RNA. What is that?
RMA. Return Materials Authorization.
RMA. Okay. Return Materials Authorization. Sometimes we throw around acronyms and our listeners might not even understand what those are. Case in point, I was unaware of that one. So thanks for explaining that a little
famous
bit.
Famous for acronyms and service. So it's understandable.
I was going to act like I knew it just because Justin didn't know it. So
yeah.
Of course you would. So Trent, can you give us a background into your role within the repair center?
Yes, I am the plant manager for the repair centers worldwide corporate. Inside the Sioux Falls facility, we have two different maybe versions of what we do here. The repair center, where we bring customer goods into repair as well as exchange goods. What an exchange is for those customers that don't have spare parts, we would send out an exchange replacement for them, and then they send their part in as a core, and we would repair that and resell that. Usually that is work that's done for things that would not, or signs that wouldn't have image quality concerns to the same level as maybe a high-level video board would.
So maybe tell me a little bit about your role then too, Trent. Like, how long have you been in the repair center, and kind of how did you get, involved in all this?
Yeah, I've worked for Daktronics now for 21 years.
Okay.
The last 12 of those have been in the repair center as the plant manager. Over those years, we were split into two different areas for corporate, where we had some people in Brookings and some people in Sioux Falls. We decided to consolidate that about 3.5 years ago now and moved everything down to Sioux Falls so that we could get closer to the UPS hub in South Dakota and be able to ship out later at night to get more of a same day feel for repairs or replacement parts being sent out.
Nice. So for you, what's a normal day like for you? You go into the office and you're making sure that things are getting shipped on time or replaced on time?
Correct. Yeah, I would spend the first half of my day is running the business, getting make sure what we're doing today is meeting customer demands. And then a good chunk of my day is also devoted to how we can improve our business or looking at new products as they're coming through, how we're going to set up a good service plan for those. make sure that they are, if they're deemed to be repairable, that we have a good repair plan for them. If they're not, what our replacement strategy would be to make sure that we can satisfy that customer demand.
You know, Trent, we have a lot of customers that are surprised, I would say, that, you know, not only do we manufacture with Global Parts in the United States here, but I think a lot of them have been pretty surprised that we also have a repair center base in the United States. Could you tell me a little bit about why that's important for our customers?
Oh, yes. We've heard through quite a bit of research with customers through the service and the sales side that that is very important for us. Make sure we can shorten our lead times, make sure that we're, a lot of times we can turn things in within a week. Our standard lead time's closer to about 2 weeks, but to get something internationally, that, you know, you spend that amount of time just shipping one way or the other. Also saves a significant amount of money in shipping costs, be able to do that work right in the United States here.
And say I'm a customer, from my perspective, if I send something to be repaired, what's that process like?
There's a couple of different ways that you can do that work. Generally, it starts with customers calling into our service centers, getting a line set up with the coordinators there. They can send the parts in. Depending upon the service contract that a customer may have, they may be utilizing our Dectronics labor to do the field work as well. So they would call and say, hey, there's a problem with our sign, and we would send a Dectronics representative to do that work even and pull the old part out. Most likely, most cases, customers have spares on site, and so they would put the spare in the sign and then send the other part back in for repair. Once it's here, we'll go through, receive it in, do a inspection of the part, make sure that you know, we test it through quite a few different processes, make sure whatever repairs we do to that gets it working back to what the customers are expecting of our high quality products that we have.
Yeah, I think, you know, in getting ready for the episode here today, you've talked about being able to repair parts and send them out. There was a stat that we had that 94% of the parts that come into the repair center are actually able to be reused, and only 6% of the parts are scrapped. Is that right?
That is true. That's what we've been trending over the last couple of years here. But we find as the scrapped ones, even a majority of those are something environmentally that would have happened to it. Some of the weirder examples, and get hit by lightning or shot with a bullet or whatever. But 94% are electronically able to be fixed.
So you've seen that? You've seen a part come back that somebody had actually used as target practice?
Yes, it happens actually more frequently than you'd care to believe, where for whatever reason, I think people think that it would happen like in the movies where you see something electronic get shot and it blows up and you see all these great big sparks and everything. Unfortunately for them, it just makes a square that looks dark in a sign. I don't think it's quite as rewarding as they're assuming it's going to be.
Right. Yeah, we want to discourage the use of displays as target practice.
Exactly.
Here. Oh, man.
So again, you mentioned it goes through several testing, right? So you got to go through and at some point say something is able to be repaired or not.
Correct. Yes. We'll go through and obviously we'll disassemble the module so we can get to a good inspection point. The repair benches, then they'll do some troubleshooting. We've got a series of codes and test procedures that we'll go through with based on the product that came in. You know, it's different test procedures there. But then we'll troubleshoot to the point of finding what that issue is. A lot of items are similar type of electronic issues, and those will get repaired. We do also have escalation paths for each of our repair lines that we would send up through either to technicians or engineering staff that would look at some of the more obscure issues that would come up with something, repair that, test it, maybe recalibrate it depending upon the type of product. If it's control system or controller, update the firmware to get everything up to the most recent firmware release, and then do a final test, package, and ship it out.
You know, and this kind of makes me think of it. You mentioned, you know, working with engineering, is that you guys must have a really kind of like tight working relationship with engineering, right? Because we've had you know, like Shannon on before from our reliability lab, and they always talk about in the development of products, sharing that information with engineers about what failed. But then you guys get to deal with a lot of that when it's already out in the field. So you got to have a pretty good working relationship with that group, right?
Yes, we do on both sides. One, as they're developing new products, we work pretty closely with all the design engineering groups to make sure it is serviceable and that we would be able to successfully repair many of the products that come through. As well as then on the backside, as we are doing those repairs, we track all that information, what happened, what was wrong with these parts that came in, what did we do to fix it, and then that information will go back to both manufacturing and design engineering, so both can continue to improve their processes and either designs and or production process.
Yeah, it sounds like there's two parts of it. It's replacing it to make sure that the current customer has a functioning sign, and it's also reporting back to help improve design or make sure those certain types of things aren't designed into products or that they happen again. So it's also improvement of products while also keeping a customer happy with their sign running.
Exactly. Yeah, it is twofold. And that's another benefit we get of doing our own repairs is we can ask those type of questions and have much better dialogue back and forth to make sure we are communicating that effectively, like they say, both to design and to production of, hey, maybe if you tweak this or did this slightly different, that we'd have a better outcome with our customers' products.
And then obviously, right, with our service sales group and service managers, you got to be working pretty close with them because you have to know if a part comes in, is it part of a service agreement? Do you have to bill? Is it part of that or not? And send it back out.
Correct. Yeah. All through our service systems, all of that work is done, tracked based on the service contract, the entitlements of that particular customer. We can escalate, de-escalate the speed, like you say, if it's billable, if it's under warranty. Does it go back out with labor? Like I said, if that particular customer has paid for that service, then we would work with the dispatch and field service team to reinstall or put the parts back into the storage lockers if that's what the contract calls for.
I know Justin loves it when I tell old intern stories, but
can't wait.
This made me think of, so I've been at Dectronics for about 13 years, a little over 13 years now. And I think like you said, and when I started, I remember there's some kind of repair center work that was being done up in Brookings where I was based out of. And, and there was someone we're talking about like not using them as target practice, but someone had like graffitied up and tagged this huge billboard we had. And then they sent back all the modules to get, they asked the interns right to help clean them off. Because they went through some kind of testing and they just said, yeah, everything's functioning great, but there's just paint on them, right? So you just have to get the paint off. So it was at the time, it was like us cleaning them. I got to imagine it's a better process now, but you don't have to go into that. But it kind of made me think of that whole, you probably see a lot of random different things that come up and deciding whether it's repairable
or not. Right. You've got paint here as an example. We had bullets as an example.
Lightning.
I'm guessing the lightning's probably something that's more common, but what are the common things? We do have like US-based repair. We have a lot of different climates in the United States from one coast to the other and everything in between. So what are some of the main things you see coming in other than what we've mentioned?
Well, we would have some weather based. Most of our products are very good, in inclement weather. They've went through hurricanes, tornadoes, everything, things that will cause some more significant damage. Like you said, lightning is of course, always a difficult one. Hail on the front of a sign. It really depends on the severity of those cases. You know, if it's a direct shot of lightning, most likely you're going to have to call your insurance company in that situation. Or if it's a softball size hail, you're going to have to replace that sign as well. But we do get a lot of ones that come back with some blades on the louvers broken, that sort of thing, from minor hail damage, and that sort of thing we can repair, as well as some of the more other obscure things. You get the bird's nest, squirrel's nest, beehives inside the signs. Eventually, it'll short some things out. one of the wackier ones we had was in Australia. There was some, I can't remember the type of bird now, but it was was coming down and pecking out the LEDs out of the sign and eating them.
Oh, jeez. Those aren't berries. Those are LEDs.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, man.
True words have never been spoken by Justin. I was going to ask, you know, what are some of the uncommon ones that you've seen? And that is definitely pretty uncommon. There was one that we've heard from a customer of ours, Nick Schmeichel with Sideline Productions. We had him on for an episode probably last year. And it was, he does rental displays. And it was one of the first ones he had was for a motocross.
Motocross.
It's for like a snowcross.
Snowcross. Yeah. It was a snowmobile.
Yeah. And one went off the thing, his throttle got stuck and he smashed into the rental display that was hanging there. So, I mean, you probably had to work with your group in some way, shape, or form because they had to determine, all right, hit the middle, what mods are still usable, what ones need to get replaced. But yeah. I remember hearing that thinking, I mean, the guy turned out okay. If you haven't heard the episode, like, he's fine.
Yeah.
But I remember that just stuck out my mind when you're saying there's some really weird and uncommon ways that these boards have been treated or something's been happening to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had everything from that. Some of the control equipment, you know, as you would look at some of our like transportation displays, quite frequently the control boxes are on the ground and, you know, they'll get run over by snowplow or whatever, and having to repair some of those parts as they replace the actual box. That's all interesting as well. There's definitely some unique things that happen. Like you say, rental. We sell quite a bit of stuff to rental agencies. So, and the amount of handling those get, obviously, with electronics, that's something that when it comes in, it gets a pretty good workover before it's ready to go back out to the customer.
Yeah.
They're setting up and tearing down and moving to the next side all the time. So it's definitely a unique product kind of use for that case. So I'm thinking, Trent, you know, you talk about we have different locations around the globe. We have the U.S. Repair Center. You know, we talked about there's a lot of different products at Daktronics, right? But there's a lot of different markets. So is it everything from like a high school to a gas station digit to billboards to big video displays? All of it comes through the Sioux Falls one? And how do you organize all that?
You know, not every product, like we mentioned before, does get repaired. A lot of digits are just not cost effective to be repaired. Products like that, generally the controllers, maybe the All Sports, come back to us and we'll repair that sort of thing. But based on where the market is and, you know, the region that it's coming out of, if it's South America or Central America, it certainly would come up to the U.S. first. If it is anything in Europe, that would go through our Ireland repair center first. They would do a big percentage of the repairs there. Some may come back to the U.S. if it's a specialized thing that, you know, as the largest repair center being in the corporate office here, we do have some extra equipment that some of the smaller regional offices don't have. So that would come back to us. But they're pretty self-sufficient in all the offices, the Ireland office, the Shanghai office, the Australia office, and the Canada offices as well. And those offices are all open for the exact same reason we started off the podcast here with, is, you know, trying to satisfy those customers and make sure we can save that as much money on shipping and lead time as we can for them as well. With that, we have even started experimenting and probably will be growing over the years here, how we can even do some more repairs on site at customers' site. Of course, it depends on the size of the sign and that sort of thing, if it's cost effective to be able to do that. But more work to be done there and more improvements to happen.
Because I got to imagine, you know, we talked about there's an escalation process. You check what services has, but, you know, we do a lot of sports, Justin and I do, but it's thinking that if all of a sudden, if they have spare parts or not, but all of a sudden they have a game in 2 days, or 3 or 4 days, the importance of being able to ship something and get something back really fast. I mean, it's just that more important. It's never to say that, you know, if any kind of third party advertising or anything goes down, that it's not important. You always want to get things back up and running as fast as you can. But my mind, I guess, just went to sports of like, oh shoot, we have a game tomorrow night or in 2 nights and we need to hurry up and get something overnight shipped and back and forth and being able to help out with that.
Yeah. We are constantly trying to improve that as well. Right. And our success rate is pretty good on making sure we're getting all events covered. But always trying to make sure we can improve not only our lead times, but our critical turnaround times in cases like that. So make sure that everybody's working with their coordinator or account manager, and we'll do whatever we can.
And you mentioned moving down to Sioux Falls to be close to that, you know, that UPS hub down there.
Right.
Do you have, like, have to worry about, not worry about, but building a relationship with them and having a contact there so they know any unique needs that may come up?
Oh, yeah. I personally meet with UPS and FedEx both at least quarterly, but our representatives in our corporate offices are meeting with them weekly, monthly, to make sure that we're maintaining and improving that relationship. Both there is a hub for both FedEx and UPS here in Sioux Falls. Okay. So I know that's useful as well. If one's having overload issues in certain holiday seasons, then you know we'll use that relationship that we've built with both of them. And then as we get into the international offices, we've developed different relationships based on those localities, what makes more sense. You know, FedEx is much more prevalent. They had bought out a large shipping processor in the Europe region. And so, you know, we use those probably more prevalent there. DHL, of course, with our Shanghai office is more prevalent. And Australia is kind of a mix between UPS and DHL there that we see generally.
Yeah, it sounds like there's been a lot more to a repair center than just, hey, we need to fix this and get it back out. It's more than just, or replacing this part. It's making sure that we're shipping and turning parts around as fast as we can, especially with that US-based center to make sure that all of our customers in the US are taken care of in a quick fashion, and also around the world, making sure that we've got those local points that we can send things to and get returned, but also those relationships that you just spoke about. There's so much that goes into it, and even taking that data from what does come back and get replaced to repaired and sending that to the engineering team to improve our products overall. There's just a lot to it. So I just wanted to say thank you, Trent, for coming on and pointing all that out to us. I'm sure there's a lot of good information here that a lot of people might not have known before.
Glad to answer any questions we have. And I guess if any customers are heading up to one of the corporate offices and want a tour, we're happy to have any customers come through that would like to see the operation.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you, Trent, for joining us today and sharing everything about the repair center.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Trent.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dectronics Experience Podcast. Please subscribe at your favorite place to listen to podcasts to keep up with our latest episodes.